What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. Whether you're a frequent listener or a new listener to the podcast, if you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you're on another platform, make sure to follow or like. That would be helpful. Okay, I'm coming off of a bye.
Yeah, man, it is absolutely freezing here in Lexington. It is currently 13 degrees, if not colder.
It's negative here.
It's not fun. Yeah. And I'm sure it wasn't fun playing football this past weekend for some teams. So talking about the first game, we got the Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I got to say, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed to the standards of the Texans were going to do something or the Chiefs were going to win big. It was just another game. I mean, the Chiefs won with or without the referees. I mean, the Texans offense just went cold. To put it bluntly, it just wasn't impressive. It wasn't a game where it made me think the Chiefs were Super Bowl worthy or the Texans are going to be a good team for next year. I just don't know. I don't know anymore. So obviously with the Texans, Stephon Diggs on a one-year contract, so he's a free agent. So we'll see if they lose him in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it all year. I'm not impressed with the Chiefs. Once again, not able to put up over 30 points. And speaking on the calls, I mean, there were a lot of questionable calls, a lot of questionable roughing the passer calls. Patrick Mahomes is going to get those calls 9 times out of 10. And it just seemed like both offenses really all season haven't been able to go off. Houston's defense was the main concern for me, what they were going to do against Kansas City. And they held up their own for a little bit, but then just got really sloppy in the second half, obviously allowing those big plays, allowing those penalties to even happen. And we're going to see the Kansas City Chiefs in another AFC championship game. But I got to ask you this question, right? So we have a little spoiler for the other AFC divisional game. We have the Bills and the Chiefs coming up this week. What is it going to take for the Bills to beat the Chiefs and have Josh Allen go to his first Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think that the Bills, I think that this is their year. They're going to beat the Chiefs. I think Josh Allen is really the main factor here. He's been doing it all year long, that he hasn't been turning over the football like he used to. He's not playing hero ball. He doesn't need to. He has the pieces around him to play efficient football, and that's what he's doing. So I think that the Bills, for them to win this game, I think the offense has to keep rolling. I think Josh Allen just has to not turn over the football, as don't want to go into the later game, but just not making those crucial mistakes. Who's going to make the crucial mistake? So it's going to come down to Josh Allen, which I think Josh Allen is playing just really good football. I think the Bills, in order to win this game, it's just going to come down to the offense.
Now, I'm going to partially agree, partially disagree. I do think it's going to be on Josh Allen to not turn over the ball, but I think it's mainly on the defense. The Bills' defense needs to hold their own. Obviously, we would be talking about a whole different matchup if Mark Andrews obviously didn't drop that football at the end of the game. So the Bills' defense really needs to step it up against Kansas City, who, yes, have not scored over 30 points all year, but that doesn't mean they're not going to do it in this game against Buffalo. So I'm looking mainly at the defense. I think the offense has been rolling. It's going to be on the defense to win this game and make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that in this game, in the Chiefs game against the Texans, that the one guy who somehow managed to get open is Travis Kelce. I mean, he is running routes across the field, getting open. He's a big guy, big tight end, obviously been in the league for a long time. He's one of the best to do it. And I think it's going to come down to this Bills defense to lock him up. I mean, you cannot lose sight of Travis Kelce. He will make you pay. on, you know, Mahomes will get him the ball one way or another. I think that the Bills going to definitely, you know, I agree with you on the defense. They're going to have to come up with the scheme to stop Travis Kelce. Don't let Xavier Worthy, you know, those kind of guys to make big plays. And Mahomes, you know, if you let him extend the play, he's going to make a play. So I think it's going to come down to the Bills defense getting the pass rush. And obviously, as I said, the offense just got to keep rolling. Do not make the critical mistake.
Yeah, and if we really want to talk about upset alert, let's talk about my biggest heartbreak of the weekend, the Detroit Lions falling to the Washington Commanders. I can go all night about this game. As you guys, as the audience know, I tend to ramble on about the Detroit Lions, but I'm not going to do it this time. I might make a whole separate episode by myself just to rant about this game, but in this episode, we're not going to. So I think some of the key takeaways, obviously 5 turnovers for the Lions. That's not good. Obviously three interceptions from Goff, I want to say it was. Obviously a fumble, and then Jamison Williams on the trick play, throwing it into triple coverage for an interception. Now, I'll come out and say it. Ben Johnson is the biggest traitor I've ever seen. This guy, instead of focusing on a game plan going into the Washington game, decided to focus on all the other head coaching jobs that he could have gotten, and it showed. And he went and now is the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I cannot wait to versus the Chicago Bears next year, so Detroit can put BTA to Ben Johnson. But let's also talk about the defense, because that was like the biggest concern this entire year for the Detroit Lions. 18 players on injury reserve, and it really showed this game. Obviously, in this game, we lost Amik Roberson and Ifeatu Melifonwu to injuries, and it showed that losing players like Hutch, Derek Barnes, even putting Carlton Davis, Aleem McNeil, like those guys, it showed that we needed them in that game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the injuries finally caught up with the Detroit Lions, unfortunately. Now, that I'm not going to take any credit away from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn, because I think last week, I said that the pressure was going to be too much. It was going to be too overwhelming for the rookie. The noise was going to be crazy loud, and he silenced the crowd. I mean, he made the big plays when they needed to. Going forward on 4th-and-3, he converted. Going forward on many, I mean, it was just being aggressive. It was just being aggressive. The Commanders were aggressive, and that was a big takeaway for me, especially because in a game like this, you're an underdog by a lot. And being aggressive, you know, you don't want to turn the ball over, potentially going down 14 or two, three possessions in a football game like this. So I think that going forward on the 4th-and-3s and believing in your quarterback to make the play when you needed it, it just showed. And that's what kept them in this game. I mean, obviously the turnovers helped them, but it was just about aggressiveness, believing in Jaden Daniels, but man, he is something special. 300-plus yards in 2 postseason games. It's crazy. I would have never seen this coming. Jaden Daniels, flowers to you. This was a huge upset. I still cannot believe it.
Yeah, and kind of to talk about one of the turnovers, that being the pick 6. Now, there was a lot of questions on the hit on Jared Goff from Luvu. Now, I definitely feel like it should have been a penalty at that point after the interception was made. Jared Goff, as the quarterback, now becomes a defenseless player, and getting hit helmet first into the head or neck area should have been a personal foul. And they even said that if they threw the flag, it would have been Detroit ball, 15-yard penalty, and it would have been 1st-and-10. Now, I'm not saying that was the difference maker in the game. Obviously, there was a lot of takeaways within this game. And props to Jaden Daniels, like you said. Obviously, really good player. There was a 4th-and-2 where the defense had 12 men on the field. That was definitely a coaching bluff by Aaron Glenn, who another person I think is a person that wasn't really focused on this game going into it, was really focused on his head coaching opportunities and not focusing on a game plan to stop Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Ben Johnson to Chicago. Aaron Glenn's getting interviews now. I want to ask you, what do you think about the Lions' future in pertaining to Ben Johnson now being gone? Aaron Glenn's most likely gone. Do you think that the Detroit Lions, even though they still will retain a lot of their players, do you think that it's only a matter of time before they have to make it to a Super Bowl?
Yes and no, because based on what I'm hearing about the upcoming year of who the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator are going to be, that being Scotty Montgomery, the current running backs coordinator, and Calvin Shepard, the current linebackers coach, seeing that the identity is going to stay the same, I feel like it's a good thing. But obviously the past 2 years, obviously last year losing in the NFC Championship and this year losing in the NFC Divisional Round, it kind of scares me because we have a talented team, right? Jared Goff is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, really showed it this year. Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the best wide receivers over his entire career. Jameson Williams coming into his own, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery being the edge rusher on the other side, whether it's Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, or if they draft a guy. Those are really the rumors that are coming out of the camp of Detroit of what they're going to do for the edge rushing. But I've been down this road my entire life watching football. I'm 23 now. I've been watching football for probably 19 years. I've seen disappointing years for the Lions. I was there when they went 0-16 in 2008. So I'm worried, but not worried at the same time because I've seen worse and I've seen better.
Yeah, you know, you kind of talked about it a little bit. I wanted to ask you, are you confident in Jared Goff's ability in these big games? I mean, even just to lead the Lions to a Super Bowl, because after that performance, I kind of have some doubt in these big games. Can he do it?
I don't really think it's all on him. I mean, yeah, it's very easy to blame Goff as he's the quarterback and supposed to be the leader of the offense. I really think it was just the Commanders' defense was out playing the Lions offense, which is very hard to do, but I don't think it comes down to Jared Goff. I think it comes down to multiple different factors in that game. I think obviously the fumble kind of started everything where he just didn't have a full grip on the ball. And then just a couple of bad throws. He airmailed Tim Patrick for that pick six. And then the trick play where JMO decided to just throw it up in the air. So I really think it's not on Jared Goff. I do feel like he can lead this team to the Super Bowl. He led the team to the NFC Championship last year, where I think it was a less talented roster in terms of like people coming into their own. Obviously, Gibbs and Laporta were both rookies last year. I think the defense got better from last year compared to this year, even with all the injuries. They were a top three defense on third down. They were the best defense on third down, third best in passer rating. So I don't think there's anything to worry about Jared Goff leading this team to the Super Bowl, because you look at the Rams when he led them to the Super Bowl. Obviously not able to score a touchdown in that Super Bowl, but I'm not too worried about them getting to the Super Bowl, just really about winning it. And I think the Lions offense, especially with who I'm seeing potential free agents coming in and re-signing, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think that you gave a good explanation. I think it'll be interesting with the Lions' future. I think that this next matchup, it was all about the quarterback play. Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. Now, it was kind of previewed earlier, but it was all about who made the crucial mistake. The Baltimore Ravens made those critical mistakes, plural. Mm-hmm. 4 turnovers from that offense. You can't do that in big games.
Yeah, and especially how star-studded their offense is. Obviously, Mark Andrews has been one of the better tight ends over the past several years. You have Derrick Henry, who is probably one of the best running backs in the league, minus probably Saquon Barkley, who's, I think, right above him. But also Lamar Jackson, who has been talked about in the MVP conversation, obviously last year's MVP. His problem is when he gets to the playoffs, he just can't win. Obviously now I think his record's like 3-7 or something like that in the playoffs. It's something outrageous like that. But I think this game really solidifies Josh Allen as the MVP. Maybe Saquon can fit right in there as well. I think Saquon has been really good this year. But I think Josh Allen, with the performance that he put on against the Ravens, I think he solidified himself as this year's MVP. But I know I alluded to it earlier. Mark Andrews making the crucial drop, which really lost the Ravens the game. Do we think that with that crucial mistake and seeing how Baltimore has done in the playoffs over the past several years, are we worried about their future?
Yeah, I mean, this is time and time again, the Ravens are the team that's talked about, or at least one of the top teams coming into the AFC, talked about can this team make it far? Can this team make it to the Super Bowl? Lamar's playing really well. I mean, he played great this season. They have Derrick Henry. They got him in free agency. This team looks pretty legit now. And in the playoffs, yet again, it's the same story, the mistakes. How can they limit these mistakes? Because it is costing them in games against the Bills, who will punish you if you make a mistake. You cannot turn the football over. Or you need to come up with that big stop. And I am concerned for the Ravens. I don't know exactly how many years you can go with Lamar saying that he will lead them to a Super Bowl, and this is the result you're getting almost every year. You made it past the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, that was a give me, but now you got the Buffalo Bills. So I think as a Ravens fan, or not as a Ravens fan, but if you are a Ravens fan, I would be pretty concerned. I think that Lamar's a great quarterback. He is a franchise quarterback. Do not get me wrong. There's just more pieces or coaching that needs to happen in order for this team to get over that hurdle.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing with the coaching. Obviously, I've said it all year. It's on the players to execute the game plan. And all these turnovers, I mean, year after year after year, it's the same thing with the Ravens. But I'm not super concerned, because I think obviously the AFC is a star-studded conference with like a very top heavy, right? You have the Bills, you have the Chiefs, and then really the Ravens, and then Bengals could be in there as well. But I'm not concerned about Lamar Jackson. I'm concerned about the coaching. Don't get me wrong, Harbaugh, great coach, right? But over this past stretch, even before Lamar Jackson, they were having struggles in the playoffs. So when is it time to look at the coaching staff and be like, hey, there's something wrong. We can't finish in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't exactly know what the answer is to the Ravens' problems. I think that in the second half, they did stop the Buffalo Bills, only letting them score 6 points. So they did a good job in the second half of controlling the damage done. I just don't know what Lamar has to do. I mean, it's just the turnovers in this game. That's literally it. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously the Mark Andrews fumble and the Mark Andrews drop, very critical. It just comes down to the mistakes. I mean, the players got to execute and they just don't. You know, they come up short. So can you really blame the coaches? I don't know. The Ravens are in such a sticky situation because, in my opinion, nobody's worth just getting rid of or cut them. It's just you got to trust each other to make the plays, and they just don't.
Yeah, and now the snow is falling, right? We know it's winter, and there was a bit of a snow game the past week between the LA Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, we all know the story of Stafford in the snow. Obviously, as a Lions fan, I know. He cannot play in the snow. He's not a snow angel. Let's put it that way. Right? So, Saquon popping off for 205 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that offense was on a whole nother level this entire game. I don't think throughout this entire year I've seen the Eagles offense play that well together.
Yeah, I think that Saquon, easily one of the best free agent acquisitions to this Eagles offense. I think it made Jalen Hurts more comfortable. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, mm-hmm. but just like Josh Allen, he doesn't have to play hero ball anymore. He has Saquon in the backfield. He can just say, here's the ball, and go get 6-7 yards. You know, it's just, it made the offense more comfortable, more sturdy. You don't have to, you know, make that many turnovers, which Hurts hasn't done, because we've seen him in big games have 2 interceptions, you know, just fall off. So it's definitely, Saquon's definitely been like a game changer for this Eagles offense. In my opinion, it's obnoxious because as a Packers fan, had to play him last week. But, you know, Saquon ran for like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown in this one. It was just crazy to watch. I mean, yeah, he's a great running back. There's nothing to say about it. I mean, just unfortunate the Eagles got him.
Yeah, I think he fits this offense really well. We saw the struggles that he had in New York the past couple of years. Obviously, a whole different system, a whole different offensive line, where I think the Eagles having one of the best offensive lines in the league, obviously, on the run plays, they gain 3 yards before even being touched, which is absolutely insane. The league average is 1 yard.
That's crazy.
Obviously, you have like Lane Johnson for the past couple of years. I think that's what really stands out to me in this game, is how well the offensive line held up. And then on the flip side with the Rams, it looked sloppy. It looked really sloppy. And now I'm seeing on Twitter where Cooper Kupp doesn't know what his future with LA looks like. You see Matthew Stafford potentially talking about retiring. So what is next for this Rams organization after this brutal loss?
Yeah, you said it best. You know, Stafford has a huge decision to make. Now, I do find it interesting that the Rams did still make it a football game. However, still losing, but, you know, Stafford can still play. I don't know what it is, but man, he can sling the football. You know, coming up, he for a second, the last drive, he was putting it together, hits Nacua. I was in my head, are they really going to do this? Unfortunately, on a 3rd and 2, the center didn't pick up Jalen Carter, which turned into a 4th and 11. From there, you're just fingers crossed. Hopefully a miracle happens, which it didn't. But yeah, I mean, the Rams are in a very interesting position because, as you said, Stafford has a huge decision to make. You know, now Cooper Kupp's coming out. He's frustrated, probably not winning. So it's a pretty bad situation, I guess, for the Rams. From what I thought, the Rams team was a pretty scrappy team. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know where you go with the Rams, because I will never count out Sean McVay. They're not in a position to draft a quarterback, so we'll see what the future is for the Rams. But I definitely want to give or talk about the Philadelphia Eagles again, because they're going in next week playing the Commanders, who are coming off a high win. And I just want to ask you, do you think that this is winnable for the Washington Commanders?
No. I think it's hard, because we said last week there was no way the Commanders were going to beat the Lions, and they did. So I think one key takeaway is with the Philadelphia Eagles is they have a high-powered offense and the best defense in the league. I think with those two together, they're not losing to the Commanders. Commanders, yes, they are a great team. But I think this is where their Cinderella run ends. And I think it mainly comes down to that defense of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to personally disagree. I think that this may be a hot take, but Jalen Hurts, I think, has an ankle injury going on right now. Yeah. So if he is limited and he's not able to scramble outside the pocket, you're forcing him to make throws. I think there could be some turnover probability that's going to happen. As you talked about the Philadelphia defense, the Commanders have played them once, mm-hmm. and they beat them once. So they know this defense. They know this offense. However, I mean, they both know each other from playing in the same division. I just think the Commanders are on a high right now. I'd love to see them go to the Super Bowl. It'd be a great story. Do I think they'll win the Super Bowl? That's a different story, but nobody predicted it. It would be a really cool story, though. So I'm taking the headline for just for the memes, just for the reads. I'm taking the Commanders.
So I'm saying a Bills Eagles Super Bowl. Are you saying a Bills Commanders Super Bowl?
I think I am. I got to stick with that.
All right. Take it to the bank. This episode was definitely insane, but thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Gridiron Podcast. If you're a fan of the NFL and enjoy this type of content covering the NFL, then you should definitely consider hitting that subscribe button, as we are here every single Thursday. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.